My guest at this time is Dr. Larry Sabato, professor of political science at the University of Virginia. He's also director of UVA's Center for Politics, and we are now just 3 weeks and 1 day away from the first-in-the-nation Iowa caucuses. This campaign, in some ways, has seemed like it's taken forever, but all of a sudden, the real votes are just around the corner, and we're glad Larry's with us to shed some light on some of the latest developments in the race. And Larry, thanks so much for being with us.
Always happy to be with you, Greg.
Well, unlike most either temporary or permanent frontrunners, Newt Gingrich is fully embracing this role, basically saying he's almost the de facto nominee at this point, saying he's got a huge lead. Do you chalk this up mostly to this carousel of Romney alternatives, or has simply this litany of seemingly endless debates proven to be an absolute essential boon for Newt Gingrich this year?
Well, the debates have helped Gingrich enormously. He was just cut out for the debates. And, you know, none of us really saw this coming. The fact that, because we kept adding debates, nobody knew, even just a few months ago, that we would end up having 13 major televised debates before the end of the year. I mean, it's unprecedented. The Democrats had a lot of debates, and the Republicans did too in 08, but not this number. We'll probably hit 24, 25 easily by the time the primaries are over, maybe more than that. So this was just geared to Gingrich perfectly because those are his skills. He is a consummate debater, and he's been around so long. He started running in the 70s. He knows all the issues. As he has told us, he's an historian, and so he knows the history of many of the subjects being discussed. And here was his real advantage. He was totally written off by everybody but him. So none of the other candidates bothered to attack him. No ads were aired against him until very recently. It was just a beautiful position to be in. And you mentioned the other half of it. Clearly, from the very beginning, you have had a majority of Republicans wanting somebody other than Romney. The anybody but Romney crowd is a solid majority in the Republican Party, and they were just casting about looking for that candidate. They seized on three or four of them along the way, but this one seems to be durable.
Larry, in terms of the Romney case, he certainly is focusing on the economy, but for the most part, that doesn't seem to be winning over a lot of people. It seems like his best argument is, I can actually win. In terms of the Electoral College, you understand that dynamic better than anyone. Do you believe that's a legitimate argument, that whether it's the Rust Belt or some of these other swing states, that Romney ultimately would be a more competitive candidate? Or if the mood of the country is for change enough that it perhaps doesn't really matter who the nominee is as far as that goes?
Well, I think it matters quite a bit who the nominee is, although I'd be the last to say that X or Y or Z couldn't win, because it depends on how bad the economy is next November. I mean, if it's really bad and people are fed up, they're going to vote for the opposition. That's just the way the voting process works, and it's the way people think when they're approaching the ballot box. So we don't rule out anybody. But if you're looking for someone who, in a close race, potentially could win some of the key swing states, even some bluish states like Michigan, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, Ohio, these are bluish or purple. They're highly competitive. Michigan would be blue. Then you look to Romney, simply because he's a blue state Republican. In other words, what costs him in the primary process is what benefits him in the general election. Being a blue state Republican, he's had to compromise on some issues. He's had to appeal to moderate swing voters. And if you're down south and you're in a heavily red state like Perry is in Texas or Gingrich is in Georgia, you don't have to do that at all. You can stick to the deeply red issues and positions, although Gingrich really hasn't done that, and still get elected.
As far as the actual tactics of this campaign, one of the things that I know is different about this year's cycle than previous cycles is that in most states, especially early on, there's a proportional delegate allotment based on percentage of the vote won, rather than the typical winner-take-all that's been the case in many states, which means this could be a protracted primary and caucus fight. How much of an advantage is that for Romney, because he's probably the best organized and certainly the wealthiest in terms of what's in the bank right now for his campaign?
You would think that would help him. I'm calling February the February freeze, because it's almost a circuit breaker in this campaign. It's unprecedented, by the way. in modern history. We haven't had a month like that right in the middle of the process where, by chance, by accident, it's turned out that there's almost nothing significant. You have a Missouri contest, but there are no delegates. You have a couple of key contests, Michigan and Arizona, at the end of February. But during February, there's nothing. Well, what's going to happen there? First of all, the winner in January is probably going to see his momentum decline. That could easily be Gingrich. Momentum dissipates. The second thing is, and this could hurt Romney, you could have other people jumping in, reconsidering non-candidacy, because you can get in February and still compete for a majority of the delegates under this new system the Republicans have designed this year, which includes proportional representation. But Romney also has a great advantage. As you know, he has more money and organization than anybody. He has been organizing in all 50 states to one degree or another, and this is bound to produce some additional delegates for him. Whether it's enough is anybody's guess.
Larry, in terms of the caucus system that's in Iowa and a number of states, but most prominently in Iowa since it's the first one that gets to vote, there have been reports that I'm sure you've seen about how the passion is there for supporters of Ron Paul. Bachman and Santorum are making some noise about the fervency of their supporters. Do you think that it's possible that we'll see one or more of those making a serious run, or is this probably a two-person race?
It's probably a two-person race, but then go back just a few months ago and we said, yeah, it's a two-person race, it's Romney and Bachman. And then we said, no, it's a two-person race, it's Herman Cain and Romney. And then we said, oh, no, it's a two-person race, it's Perry and Romney. And now it's a two-person race, it's Gingrich and Romney. So the only constant there is Romney. And don't forget, Ron Paul is going to get what he's going to get. He's going to get 10 to 20% everywhere. In caucus states, he may exceed 20%. If these candidates stay in there, and I don't know whether Bachman and Santorum can, or Huntsman, but if all these candidates stay in for a good long while, it's possible that no candidate will get a majority of the delegates, and you'll have, if not a deadlock convention, at least a deliberative convention. I'm not predicting that. I'm just saying it's a live possibility.
Yeah, for the first time in a long time. And, of course, the Democrats kind of went in this direction a little bit in 2008. Ultimately, there wasn't a brokered convention or anything like that, but the process went on a lot longer than anyone really expected. Why did the Republicans decide to go down this road when it seems like both major parties, their major goal is to end the infighting as soon as humanly possible and get the focus on the other party?
Well, that's a great question. They actually had a beautiful system designed. I give them full credit. This was the best system either party has designed in the modern era. And then, as we know, Florida jumped the line and ruined February. This whole process was supposed to start February 6th with Iowa. Now it's January 3rd, just like it was 4 years ago, which is insane. It makes no sense at all, but we're stuck with it. The Republicans thought they could actually have a fairly compressed period, February through probably May, get the nominee in May, have it be fair, have the candidates feel that they were all fairly dealt with, and that might have happened, but it's not going to happen now, that's for sure.
Last question, Larry, before we let you go. Obviously, we're very close to Christmas, the holiday season. A lot of people probably won't be paying much attention to politics, so how important is it for these candidates to cement a pretty strong impression by, say, well, certainly by the middle of next week?
Well, they better get busy. They've got one more debate on Fox on Thursday evening, which could be a very important debate. That's going to be the last one involving the major candidates before January 3rd. So that's the key event, but you're going to have millions and millions of dollars spent with negative advertising in Iowa, as well as organizational techniques, the old telephone tree, the email chain, all the rest of it. This is going to be going on during Christmas. And the 110,000, 120,000 people out of the 3 million Iowans who are actually going to show up January 3rd, they'll be paying attention during Christmas. So, you know, God bless them. They're giving up their Christmas for politics. I don't know whether that's wise, but that's what they're doing.
Larry, you and I won't be, but that's just our choice, I guess.
We're going to take Christmas and Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve and New Year's Day off, and I'm not answering the phone for anybody.
Good for you. I'm going to follow that lead myself. Larry, thanks as always for your time. We'll talk to you soon. Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much. Merry Christmas to you too, Greg.
Larry Sabatow, professor of political science at the University of Virginia, director of UVA's Center for Politics. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.